communion and our songs together, we have, I think, a pretty clear picture of what we're looking at this morning. So I want to say that if you didn't get a green sheet and you're a person who likes to follow and take notes, please take one of those. We have been reminded that not only are we starting a new series, but we've been reminded, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And that really is the book of Hebrews. And we've also been reminded to listen to what is being said. For those of you who are in my age or even younger have been for a hearing test, and the lady there said to me, is there anyone or anything you can't hear? How do you go with the telly and the radio and everything? Well, just my wife, I can't always hear too clearly. She said, well, we've already marked box 8. We mark that for every married man, that he can't quite hear his wife. But friends, we have to grasp that Hebrews says, Jesus, 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 and listen to him and understand him. God spoke in different ways. Yes, and people had heard. God had spoken. Prophets had heard. Have we listened? That's the question. We've got ears. Have we listened to what God has said? Now, Hebrews, obviously to the Hebrews or to those who were Jewish, and of course they had grown up with the law and all things like that. So they'd been told, this is what you must obey. These are the festivals you must obey. This is what you must go to. So can you imagine when the writer writes this and says, here is the fulfillment of prophecy, here is the whole sacrificial system. Here is the answer to the high priest in Jesus. These people who had grown up thinking, we need to go to festivals, we need to have a sacrificial system. But all of a sudden, their mind must have been blown away. It's all new. We can't comprehend because Jesus is not who we thought. This isn't what we thought was going to happen. We thought it was all going to be different. But it's now all fulfilled in this particular person. We cannot comprehend this. We cannot understand it. So, the living says, long ago God spoke in many different ways to our fathers, through the prophets, in visions, dreams, and even face to face, telling them little by little about his plans. Amos held up a plumb line and it was against the wall of the building and it didn't measure up. And this is what he says, this is what my nation is like. A bowl of fruit, half rotten, this is what you're like. You haven't measured up. Jeremiah with the potting and the potter. Hosea with his wife, a prostitute. You've gone after other gods. You haven't been faithful to me. And of course, Isaiah with all of his visions and dreams. So God spoke, sometimes in a visual sort of way, sometimes in a dream, but he wanted to get his message through to these people. Now, I don't know how God gets his message through to you. We heard from Dion all of the ways of communication, but someone just leaned across to me and said, what about Morse code? And I want to say, what about a carrier pigeon? They got through in the war, much better than Vodafone or Telstra. But yes, how does God get through to people? How does God get through to people? Well, in those sorts of ways. But it's hard for us to imagine if someone came and said, actually, all that you have believed, well, it's going to be blown away a bit. And it must have been so hard for those folk to comprehend. Is it hard for us to comprehend Jesus? I mean, sometimes, even when we do this, I think, this is phenomenal. Talking with Broden, and he's overseas at the moment, but talking with him, he said to me one day, Colin, I cannot comprehend that the creator of the universe talks to me and I can communicate with him. I mean, isn't that phenomenal? Does that just blow us away? Oh no, that's just normal for Christian living. No, it's phenomenal. It's amazing. So, friends, when we look at Jesus here, let's get rid of some of our fairy floss thinking. Let's get rid of some of our marshmallow thinking. You know, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. That's all right when you're in Sunday school. But when you're adult and you've been on the path for a number of years, gentle Jesus isn't meek and mild in that level. He's powerful, he's strong, he's the living God. That's who we believe in. Not some little wishy-washy effeminate man. We believe in the living God. And so it was that the writer said, in the last days, yes, he has spoken to us by his Son. And we've been reminded that Jesus is God's final word. People have added to that. And people even in churches have added to that, which is so, so sad. He is God's final word. Could we have had anything clearer? Could we have had anything more expressive than Jesus coming? Don't know. Face to face. Incredible. And then we have the records in Scripture of people who met him, who encountered him, and we have his story written. How incredible. The final revelation. But people make up all sorts of stories about revelation and how it comes. Here we're going to have a very clear picture of who Jesus is. But I've reminded you before of a bloke down the road who lived there a number of years ago, a young guy. One day I was out on one Sunday morning, a Sunday afternoon walking down, and he was sitting there on his veranda and he had a bowl of food. And he was off to a thing up at Wistow. And what's going on? What are you doing? What are you going to, Paul? And he said, oh, up at Wistow, there's an Indian sweat tent, and it's spiritual. It's just like what you do at church. All right. Yes. And we all take a bowl of food and we share it, just like we used to do at church. Oh, yes. Righto. This is where the difference is. They all sit in a tent and take off their clothes, and they face one rock, and then they turn and face another rock, and then another, and then another. And those four rocks represent animals. And that's their worship. I mean, I cannot believe sometimes the silliness of people. But it makes sense. I mean, I think it was Einstein who said, there are two things that amaze him: the creation of the world and the stupidity of humankind. And I think that's pretty right. Sometimes people worship all sorts of things. But this is Jesus. So let's grasp, pardon me, let's grasp the story, because it's a story of revelation, it's a story of affirmation, and it's a story, as I say, that we need to grasp with both hands. First of all, verse 1 we've had, spoke by a son. And then it goes on. He is the heir of all things, the inheritor of all things. Friends, how incredible is that? The inheritor of all things. In Jesus, the inheritor. Who are we? We're joint heirs and we're children. So we will inherit, or we are inheritors of all of that. How wonderful that is. We just need to ponder almost every verse here. We are inheritors as he has inherited. He gives to us that inheritance. Wonderful. Wonderful that we can be called children of the living God. Wonderful. Secondly, through him he created the world. Well, we have all sorts of theories about evolution going on. You know, Big Bang, all the rest of it. And yes, I mean, animals have adapted to different situations, of course. But the creation of the whole world, how amazing that God has created and then created us. This is the Jesus we believe in. He is the inheritor of all that God the Father has. He is the creator of the world. Thirdly, he reflects the glory of God. Now, this is not just looking in a mirror, and it's not just a pale reflection like the moon reflects light. It's probably hard for us all to understand, including me, but people have said it's as if the radiance of God shines out from Jesus. It's not something that it comes out from him because he is God. I've got there on the thing, the outraying. The glory of God shines out from him, from his inner being. This is who our God is, showing the glory of God coming out. Reflect, I've got there with a question mark because it's perhaps not the best translation. We just see, a reflection in a mirror. But it's more than that. It's the outward of God. Now, of course, we just ask all of these questions. If he's the heir, are we the inheritor? If he shows the radiance of God, and we've got the Holy Spirit in us, do we show out the radiance of God? Well, we should. Yes, Heather, we should. I'm glad you're sitting in the front seat today. Right. He bears the very stamp of God's nature. Now, those of you who are coin collectors know that when a coin comes out, it's been stamped in the mint and it looks exactly right. He bears the very stamp of God's nature. Can I say this is the only place in the Bible that this word is used, which says it means the exact expression of the Father. It only occurs here once. So the substance of God is in Jesus. The very being is in Jesus. And that's who we see. We might want to say the spitting image, but I'm not sure that that's quite appropriate, nor am I sure that it's exactly right. But this is the substance of the living God in Jesus on earth. How incredible. And then what else does he do? Well, he upholds the universe by the word of his power. We need to be very careful about who we think we're following. And we also need to be very careful about who we sing about. Because we're not singing about my boyfriend. And as I said before, we're not singing about something fairy flossy and marshmallowy. We're singing about the Son of God. The Son of God, the one who upholds the universe by his word of power. Now, we've got leaders in countries today who are thinking that they've got control of the world, but they haven't. Jesus is the one who upholds all things by his word and his power. It is just amazing, as Colossians reminds us. He is the one in whom all things were created and the one in whom all things hold together. And we're part of that family. Isn't that wonderful? We're part of his family, the one who holds everything together. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. Now, in John, of course, we read these words. In the beginning was the word. Again, we need to be careful here, because we'll have people knocking on our door saying, no, that's wrong. It's in the beginning was a word. No, it's not a word. He was not a word, in which case he would come down and be just one God with many others. No, he's not. In the beginning was the word, depending on your Bible. I've got a capital W there. And the word is the definitive. That is, he is the word, the Son of God. The word was with God and the word was God. This is our God. He is the word of God. So, he upholds the universe by the word of his power because he is the word. And then, as we were reminded in communion, when he had made purification for sin, he was able to then sit down. It's as if the world, the creation, upholding the world I've got there is cosmic. That's, this is to do with the whole world and the cosmos. And then all of a sudden, it becomes so personal. Personal relationship with us. It is too much for the human mind almost to comprehend, isn't it? We do need the Spirit of God. We do need the Spirit of God to help us understand how incredible this is. But this is our God. And so, he sat down. No one else could bring that forgiveness. And he sat down because it was finished. It's over, sitting down at the right hand. And some now, Ian in his prayer said, he's now at the right hand praying for us little humans here in Brighton this Sunday morning, in the luxury that we've got. And yet Jesus is interceding for us. It's just the whole idea of God coming to us and then praying for us is phenomenal. But that's the God we've got. And that's why we need it to sort of really take an uplift in how we think about Jesus. Yes. Yep, friend. Yes, pal. But let's be careful. Let's be careful that we don't bring him down to a level that we contain him, because we cannot when we see who he is and what he has done. Just amazing. So, these attributes belong to Jesus. He's the focal point and the culmination of prophecy. All of that Old Testament prophecy, yes, important, but it pointed to Jesus, and that's who we need to take in. He is the priest. All of the high priestly stuff, all of the sacrifices, no one needs bring any sheep or goats to church. He is the one who was given the sacrifice, and the king now enthroned in honour. This is our God. So the question is, who do we worship? Who do we worship? Who do we give worth to every day? Because that's what worship is. Who do we give worth to? Is it to this Jesus, or is it to someone else? So we've had the Father, Son, and now just briefly the Spirit, because it's a reminder, friends, that the Holy Spirit never focuses upon himself. The Spirit never says, oh, look at me, look what I'm doing, helping people speak in tongues and helping people do this and do that. No. The work of the Holy Spirit is always to glorify Jesus. In us, to make us like Jesus. In us, to make us a welcoming community, welcoming people like Jesus would. Down the road, around the corner, we've got a temple down around past the swimming pool. The Sri Ganesh Temple. Some of you have been past there, big elephant out the front. Lots of worshippers there on different days. That's the elephant god, one of the deities of the Hindu pantheon. There are 33 million gods in the Hindu religion. 33 million. And Vishnu is the preserver. Shiva is the destroyer. Ganesh is the elephant god. And Brahma is the creator. So we've got the creator, the preserver, the destroyer in one. We've got them here in a mixture. We've got them in one in Jesus, the creator, the preserver, the upholder. Friends, we've just got to grasp that not everyone thinks the same as we do. Not everyone worships the same God. And we need to be careful. Down the road, on Brighton Road, we have the Baha'i people. And they, of course, would want to say, everyone's heading in the same direction, just believe strongly what you believe and you'll be right. But God says there's no other name by which a person can be saved. This Jesus who we are looking at, that's the way we need to go. He is the truth. So we need to know where we stand with this. We need to know, who is the God whom we believe? And we need, as it were, to put both feet firmly on the ground. This is my God. This is my God. And this. Now, that doesn't mean we won't fail, but it does mean that we know where we stand in Jesus. So, God has spoken by his prophet, yes, and there's lots of prophecy that we love to read and understand what he was saying. He's spoken by his Son, he's still speaking by his Spirit to each one of us. He's speaking to us, the church. But the big question is, God is speaking to us and speaking to me. Am I listening? And what does it mean? It's easy to read. God's spoken by his prophets, but God is still speaking. So what does it mean to us? Let us pray. Our Father, we are very conscious that people hear all sorts of things and people have made up all sorts of stories. People have made up their own gods. People believe to have visions and dreams that are so contrary to your word. So we come this morning and we thank you that you have spoken in your Son. And we thank you for the incredible attributes that he has that are revealed to us. And we thank you that to no one else have you said, sit at my right hand till I make ultimately enemies a footstool. We thank you, our Father, that Jesus Christ is the all-sufficient sacrifice, the fulfillment of prophecy, the one who is now King and Lord. Our Father, speak to us on this Father's Day in a way that we cannot misunderstand, but in a way that we take in who Jesus is. And Father, please, we would reaffirm our love for him and our desire to serve him. For we pray in his powerful name. Amen.